Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Can I get an aw yeah? Aw yeah! Aw yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from across the solar system, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is fun, natural, effective, and
astounding
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to us while you're riding the bus, stuck in traffic, putting lifesavers on your mouth to practice your long E, or even
traveling through time.
Oh yeah. I'm joined here in the Cross Atlantic studio, as always, by the man who doesn't turn on the shower. He just stares at it until it starts to cry, Justin Murray.
Yeah. So why don't you explain that joke, Mr. V?
It's pretty clear. Justin is so intimidating that he doesn't have to turn on his shower. He just stares at his shower or anyone else, and they start to cry out of fear.
What does stare mean?
Stare means that you look at someone without blinking.
Okay, that kind of reminds me of, I think we mentioned this in the podcast before. Did you know that Chuck Norris's tears can cure cancer?
Oh, I thought it was Justin Murray's tears can cure cancer, but it's too bad he's never cried.
You got it. Too bad he's never cried. Chuck Norris.
He's up there. Who would win a fight, Chuck Norris or Justin Murray?
I don't know. At this point in my legend, then it's up in the air.
What does it mean, it's up in the air?
It means that it's not decided yet. Maybe it's because of a coin toss. You throw a coin up and you don't know which side it's going to land on.
That's good. I never actually thought about that.
Because we say we flip a coin for heads or tails. We put the coin on our thumb and you throw it up and it lands on one side, which is the American coin, right? Heads is the head of the president. And then tails would be the other side, right?
I don't know why, because I don't think any of the coins actually have a tail on it. But I guess it's sort of thinking like an animal, I guess, has a head at one end and a tail at the other. Yeah, that'd be flip a coin or toss a coin, right? A coin toss. So let's roll right into kick-ass quote today. We have the one, the only, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Very inspiring guy, which I didn't really realize. I just thought of him as like an actor and somehow also a politician until I actually heard an interview of him on the Tim Ferriss show. And I was astounded, as Justin said. I was really blown away by just his life and how his values in general and how persistent he's been to make his goals a reality. So he says, be hungry for success, hungry to make your mark, hungry to be seen and to be heard and to have an effect. And as you move up and become successful, make sure also to be hungry for helping others.
Oh, yeah. Arnie, the Governator.
The Governator. Why did they call him the Governator?
Because the Terminator, right? And then he became a governor, the governor of California, right? They combined the two words, governor plus Terminator, the Governator.
Exactly. And I heard he would run for president if he could, but in the United States, if you're not born in the United States, you can't run for president. So definitely we'll share in the show notes that podcast that I just mentioned, interview of Arnold Schwarzenegger on the Tim Ferriss podcast, a great way for you to practice your English native resource if you're a little bit more advanced. And I think you will also be very inspired by the life of Arnold Schwarzenegger, much more than just the Terminator.
Yeah. So for me, like I listened to that podcast and I was blown away by he has this rags to riches life, right? Like I guess growing up in like Austria, I guess he didn't even have like a normal toilet. His family was very poor and then he moved to the United States and he just worked hard and earned everything that he has right now.
What impacted me there, he said something like he was the youngest in his family and they had like one bathtub for the entire family, including his grandparents. And so like they would use the same water. And since he was the youngest, he'd be the last one to take a bath. So it'd be like already super dirty.
That's horrible.
And then he made it to the U.S. and he actually became a really successful entrepreneur before he was a famous actor. So definitely, like Justin said, a really cool rags to riches story. Something I had no idea about Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I definitely was much more impressed by him as a person after that. And another almost equally impressive person is the shout out this week, the kick-ass learner of the week. And who is that, Justin?
So we're going to give a shout out to one of our newest Fluency Circle members, to Joanne from Greece, who left a really great, really nice video. Because when people join the Fluency Circle, we invite them to record a short video of themselves, just introducing themselves and, you know, telling them a little bit about themselves. And she blew us away with a really amazing video, just talking about who she is, what she does. And she explained how even she has a little bit of fear, like most people, like even me, maybe not now so much, but I'm always kind of scared of like filming myself and really putting myself out there. And even when I think about it now, it's like, oh my gosh, people are going to listen to me. But anyways, so she overcame that fear, recorded a beautiful video, and she said some really nice things about Real Life English and just our impact on her. And that was very, very, really nice to hear, very flattering. So we want to share some of those words and kind of, she does a really great job of capturing what we're really trying to do, how we're really trying to help people.
Definitely. So we're going to roll that clip. You guys will be able to hear what she actually said. And here it goes.
Hello, everyone. I'm Joanne from Athens, Greece. I start by saying that I hate filming myself. When I saw these about filming in email, I was like, oh my God, not that. But I believe so much in real life idea that I overcome this feeling. Allow me to thank Chad, Justin and Ethan for this amazing work they have done. They have helped me not only with my English, but also especially through the recent inspirational podcast. They helped me to get back on track concerning meditation, because the last 2, maybe 3 years, I had a great difficulty in meditating and I have no problem anymore. So that is what I really like in real life English, that they help you to not only learning English or mastering at it, but also how you can improve your life and how you can be better at whatever you do. I'm really grateful, guys. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much, Joan, for sharing those kind words, for taking the time and working up the courage to film yourself. We really appreciate the kind words. And if you want to also rub our ego a little bit, or, you know, just share with the world what you think about our podcast or anything else that you have learned with us, please feel free to become the next Kick-Ass Learner of the Week by going to iTunes and giving us a 5-star review. And we might just share what you said on the podcast.
Yeah. And by the way, just one final thing is, like, Joanne, great job with your English. You're definitely like a rock star learner. And very impressive fluency. So keep up the great work.
Oh, yeah. So without further ado, let's roll into today's topic. And what are we talking all about today, J-Man?
We're going to be talking about accents, pronunciation, and really what it is to speak with an accent, speak like a native, like a lot of people want, and just really break that down and see what's the truth of that.
And I think that there's so many misconceptions here. There's so many people who maybe have got a little bit of their goals a little bit fuzzy. And so they think that they want one thing when really, I don't think they've done the work to really see what's behind that. So we'll talk about that today. We actually asked in our newsletter, if you don't receive that every week, then definitely go sign up on the show notes of this page at reallifeglobal.com/accents, A-C-C-E-N-T-S. Because every week we send out a newsletter sharing all of our new lessons, all sorts of different fluency tips, and it's actually a way that you can connect with us. So we asked the question, do you want to speak like a native speaker, in our last newsletter? And we got responses from a bunch of people from all over the world. Really interesting hearing some different perspectives about why they do want to speak like a native speaker, why it's not important to them to speak like a native speaker. And also, like I had said, maybe some of these misconceptions about what it actually means to speak like a native speaker. So we're actually going to share some of these, and Justin and I will just discuss them. We'll discuss maybe some of the misconceptions or some of the good points that are made in these different responses. So you want to let it rip with the first one, Justin?
Okay, so the first one, this is a person who, yes, indeed, wants to sound like a native. They say, yes, I want to sound like a native. I know that this really isn't necessary. I know that people can understand what I say, but I get the creeps when I listen to German people speaking English with bad pronunciation. It sounds really awful. I would like to speak in a way that nobody can identify where I'm actually from. In my opinion, the goal is to learn a second language as good as possible, and that includes a pronunciation. This is from Birgit from Germany. She's actually a Fluency Circle member too. What do you think about that, Ethan? What would you say?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting because she started out saying, yes, I want to sound like a native. And then she kind of herself almost changed her mind in the middle of what she was saying, I would like to speak so that nobody can identify where I'm actually from. And I kind of think I have like a similar opinion when I speak another language. I don't want to be like pinpointed as being an American first thing when I open my mouth. So, I would like to maybe reduce some of my accent. But at the same time, I do think that speaking like a native is an actual goal because there's all sorts of benefits behind having, even if it's just like a little bit of an accent. And I think one of those just starts is it makes you more interesting. And, you know, if you're a shy person, I'm definitely a shy person when I first meet people. It kind of helps to have that first thing that comes up. It's like, hey, you've got an accent. Where are you from? And, you know, it starts off a conversation. So if you're a little bit shy, it can work to your advantage. Maybe you agree with what Birgit said that you don't want people to know right away where you're from. Maybe you don't like the accent from your first language. I think she said something really interesting here, a really good expression. She said it gives her the creeps. She gets the creeps. What does that mean?
When something gives you the creeps, you are basically really scared by it. You almost, like your hair stands on end. You're kind of grossed out by it.
You get goosebumps from something that gives you the creeps. So she said like when she hears that accent, and I bet that it's almost tied to just the fact that like worldwide, German tends to get a bad rap.
Yeah, Germans, you think about Arnold Schwarzenegger, for example, or you think about like this really like mechanical, really like guttural throat English, right? With these really strong sounds. And almost like you imagine like a, you know, the German soldiers or something marching.
Yeah. But I think like in reality, I don't know, as someone who like lived in Germany and learned German and everything, I think that actually like most people who are German speakers, they don't have that strong marked accent like Arnold Schwarzenegger or like you see in a lot of different movies where it's very exaggerated. So Birgit, I would say it's nothing to be ashamed of. I've actually heard you speak in a video and I think your accent, it doesn't pinpoint you as being German and you speak very confidently and wonderfully. So also one more thing that she said, which you'll hear in some of these other examples. Actually, maybe I'll share the next one first and then we'll talk about this because the next one also said this. So this is Betty from Taiwan and she says, for me, I don't think that speaking like a native is having a beautiful accent. I prefer to use colloquial language such as slang words and daily expressions. And about reducing my accent, I think pronouncing correctly is crucial. For example, I'm easy to forget to close my mouth when I pronounce M words because we don't have this kind of pronunciation in our native language. Intonation and connected speech are also important. I'm still working on it. I hope one day I can sound like a native speaker. Aw, yeah. So Betty and Birgit, they both said that pronunciation is really important. But one thing I wanted to point out here is pronunciation and accent, I think, are two different things. I think you can have a strong accent, but use correct pronunciation. Would you agree, Justin?
Yeah, definitely. I think everybody, in some sense, has an accent. You know what I mean? So it's like there's the American accent, there's the British accent, there's Scottish accent. So it all depends. There's no like one universally correct accent. It just defines where you're from.
Exactly. But I think on the other hand, I think what they're saying, pronunciation is really important. And I think it's much more important than not having an accent. Not having an accent is maybe kind of more superficial, but pronunciation, having clear and correct pronunciation is important because sometimes it can actually cause misunderstandings. Like if you say a word with the wrong pronunciation, it can give it a completely different meaning. So that is very important, mastering the correct pronunciation. But on the other hand, maybe if you're mixing up the having an accent with having correct pronunciation, you are going after the wrong goal. I think you'll also see this with people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, with Arianna Huffington, who we're going to talk about later in the podcast. A lot of these famous people who are very famous for having their accent, it's almost like their sort of calling card, they tend to have very correct pronunciation, but they still have that very strong accent. But that does not interfere with them being understood, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Mr. V, so what's a calling card?
Calling card is something basically that you're known for, right? It's kind of like something that, you know, for example, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger's accent is definitely his calling card. You can hear his voice without seeing him and you know instantly who that is.
Yeah, definitely. Couldn't agree more.
All right. So do you want to share the next one from Killian in Spain, who also said that he's living in England and that he believes that he would like to speak like a native?
Okay. So he says, I would like to speak like a native because I like to get conversations with familiar words in English. Even where I'm from in Spain, our level of English in a school in high school are low. It means we are treating in our country the English level as just a subject. In my case, I've been in London for almost 2 years and I'm starting to understand what the secret is to English. We need to feel confident and reliable to speak as a native. That's why every single morning I've been listening to your podcast and day by day I love your accent and would like to grab more tips about how to speak English as a native, with only a goal to meet native people perfectly and get friends.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much, Killian. There's also kind of a shout out for the podcast in there, I guess. And like I said, he's actually living in London. And I suppose if he's been there for a while, he's making a lot of British friends and everything, using his English every single day. I thought it's kind of interesting, though, because he says that his goal is to meet native people perfectly and get friends, which this is like I was saying before, that if that is your actual goal, maybe you don't want to be so quick to get rid of your accent because it can be an icebreaker. You know, people ask you where you're from, you tell them you're from Spain, and then you start a whole conversation about maybe some of their misconceptions about your culture, or they might ask you how you like living in England. So different things like this. I don't think necessarily your accent, if you're wanting to meet people, if your goal is to make friends and connect, I think that can actually assist you in that, right?
Yeah. In this case, I might invite pretty much everybody who considers this question to think about what it's like to meet somebody speaking your language on different levels. You know, you might have the person who's just starting out and who can't communicate very well and they have a horrible accent. And then you might realize it's not as bad as you thought because the person is learning and they're communicating and you can only feel support for that person. You don't look at them and get the creeps. You don't cringe. What does cringe mean, Ethan?
Cringe is like what Birgit said, like you get the creeps. It's like almost when something rubs you the wrong way or it disturbs you in some way.
To cringe is like it's a look on your face, right?
Yeah, I was going to say it's like the physical expression of that where I think your eyes get kind of small, your whole face kind of scrunches up.
Yeah, so just think about, you know, people, maybe you have an example of somebody in your language, a foreigner who speaks your language really well, but has an accent. And it doesn't affect their communication. They're able to connect with people 100%. And what does that accent mean about them communicating in your language? I think that's kind of a good way to really see the truth of how natives perceive you.
Most definitely. And I don't know why, for some reason, when people learn another language, they always tend to kind of forget that, you know, having an accent in their mother tongue, when they hear that, it's not so bad. The last one from the people who said yes, that they want to speak like a native. This person, Ahmad, said, I'm not sure where he's from, but he said, as from my point of view, fluency has three components, such as speaking smoothly, confidently, and correctly. But the accent is also the essential associate part to be considered. Actually, I'm not sure if this is a very clear yes, but it seems like it's leaning towards that. So he said that fluency is speaking smoothly, confidently, and correctly, right? Do you think that you can have an accent and still speak smoothly, confidently, and correctly?
Yeah, this is what we were talking about actually before the podcast. Like, what is, you know, to be correct? I think that's in some sense your pronunciation, right? I think that's having correct pronunciation, right? What we were talking about earlier. And speaking smoothly is speaking in a way that you can be understood. You kind of connect your words. And what's the opposite of smooth? It's kind of like choppy, rough or choppy too. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like when you're speaking a lot with like, you're thinking a lot and you stop.
I mean, I think the smoothness that tends to come with practice, because what happens to most English learners, most of us, like Killian said, you learn in school and you just get a low level. You learn. I mean, this isn't just true in Spain. I think it's true everywhere I've lived. It's true in the United States that when we learn other languages, it's very grammar focused on structure and maybe learning vocabulary. And we tend to learn all of this mostly through input, right? By mostly reading, some listening, and we don't get very many opportunities to speak. So we have that information in our head, but we don't actually have the practice of using it, of taking it from our head and communicating it in sentences. But the more that you do that, the more practice you can get with, if you're lucky enough to live in another country. But if you don't, just making friends with other learners, people in your class, your teacher, or even just recording yourself, as we've talked a lot in different podcasts, this is a way to start becoming more smooth in your speaking. And again, we're going to play a clip at the end, for example, from Ariana Huffington. And if you think of like Schwarzenegger, if you think of, we did recently a lesson with Sofia Vergara, all these different famous people who have very strong accents, but they still speak, I think, smoothly, confidently, and correctly for the most part. Now moving on to the other side, on to people who say, no, it's not important. So probably people who agree with our opinion that we've been expressing for most of this. So do you want to read the first one, Justin?
Yeah. So the first one is, in case you do not have a career or need to speak a lot of languages, it is not necessary to speak like a native. If you still speak with an accent, it looks cute to me.
I think that's pretty clear that, you know, you can have an accent, it can actually be something that makes you even more attractive. But I'd even say there, if you, you know, a lot of people who have a career or something like that, not many careers actually require you to speak without an accent. The next one from Mo, also not sure where she's from, but she says, while I think it's pretty good to have an accent that reflects where you come from, but the most important thing is to speak with confidence and also be able to express your feelings without hesitation. Couldn't agree more with this. Is there anything you would want to add there, Justin?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Yeah, except for, are you sure that Mo's a girl?
Pretty sure, because I seem to remember marking that in my mind to remember it's a girl, because Mo is usually a guy's name in English. But if you are a guy, I'm terribly sorry. All right, the next one.
For me, it's not necessary to speak exactly like a native. I think that will be impossible. But I am really interested in being fluent. Having a lot of vocabulary that's useful and understanding people when they speak to each other in real English. This is from, pardon my mispronunciation here of your name, but Annie Varina B.
She says that she thinks it's impossible to speak exactly like a native. What I'm not sure exactly like a native is. It's kind of like the speaking perfect thing. But she says, I think that would be impossible. Do you think it's actually impossible, Justin?
I don't think it's impossible. I think with a lot of hard work, some people maybe do have a little bit more ability, just natural ability with their pronunciation, are able to acquire it. That's very rare. But I think with a lot of hard work, you can really smooth out your accent and get to that point where you're getting all the benefit that you would be getting. And also, it's interesting because Betty said this in her comment earlier that you mentioned about using native expressions. And that's something, I guess, the vocabulary aspect of it, which is really important. We haven't really focused so much on that. It's super important to be able to speak with native collocation, to be able to use the words, you know, the word combinations that we use, because it does communicate a lot better. You know what I mean? There's something better about saying, like, you know, you need to set goals rather than like to make goals. If you say, you know, you need to make goals, that's correct. But we actually say over and over again, natives say it is to set goals, right?
Yeah. I think if you can actually like observe how natives use the language, the expressions that they actually tend to use, and using them accurately and probably also kind of selectively, because I've met some English learners that they just, any time that there's a possibility to use an expression, they use it, and it can almost be overkill. What's overkill?
Mr. V, overkill is when you really go overboard. What does overboard mean?
Go overboard is like when you fall over off a boat. That would be one way to use it. In this case, it means that you do it too much. You're doing it excessively. So you don't want to like excessively like be vomiting out expressions at every opportunity just to show your mastery of different English expressions. But there is, if you're able to use them tastefully, if you're able to use them in good situations, it can definitely, I think there's like more of a comfort level, at least when you're speaking to natives. If you're speaking to non-natives, if you're speaking in an international business setting, it's probably not as important.
Well, I think what happens there is like using those, a native doesn't need to pay so much attention to follow you and to really speak with you, because the communication is just much more fluid in that way. Because it's like if you use the right expression, it causes more impact. In kind of the same way of like if you have smooth speech, the person you're speaking with can, you know, sort of let their guard down a little bit when they're speaking with you. Let their guard down. What does that mean?
To let your guard down is to make yourself vulnerable.
That might not be the right expression, but just relax a little bit so you're not concentrating so much. Because if somebody doesn't have very good pronunciation, or maybe they have a really strong accent, it's like you need to pay a lot of attention to understand them, right? If they've managed to smooth that out, then it's like the person can just relax a little bit and the communication can be a little more natural.
The way you just said it, though, I would probably kind of, that's saying like they have a really strong accent, because I think like once again, someone can have a really strong accent and be perfectly understandable if they have accurate pronunciation. I think if they have a really strong accent and they have inaccurate pronunciation, then that's when it gets really complicated to understand them. And so that's what you really don't want. Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying there. And so, yeah, I think definitely just being very observant when you watch something, when you're listening to something, or if you have the chance to be speaking to natives, trying to be very observant of like when they're using certain expressions, learning it through the context and everything. And like I said, being choosy, not overusing them. Next one from Andrei, I believe from Russia, but sorry if I got that one wrong. I will never be a native English speaker, and no matter how much I would put into this, it would be noticeable. It would also be a very fine cultural matter involved in the general learning process. But exactly because of this, we become a bit vulnerable in our interactions with native English speakers. And indeed, this is great and sexy because both the ones involved give maximum in the communication process, and we're learning practically forever. And this is exciting. So yes, I would rather keep my accent and continuously improve my fluency as being part of the great family of non-native English speakers, proud of our efforts in the journey of becoming fluent English speakers. It is the journey, not the destination, that matters. Oh, yeah, that was very beautiful, Andre. Thanks so much for taking the time to share it. I definitely totally agree with him. I really like also that he takes it to the next level there just by saying, you know, being part of a global family of people who are using English as a tool to communicate. So not necessarily needing to use the language, as we've talked about, just to communicate with native, but also using it as like your doorway, as your key to communicating with the whole entire world. And, you know, again, I think a lot of people, they have that real goal of wanting to speak like a native. They're kind of missing the point that English is a really special language, and that, you know, if you speak too much like a native, if you're using too much slang, too many expressions, then you're going to miss out on that key of using it with people from all over the world, because they might not understand those as well, right?
Yeah, this is kind of the disclaimer about connective speech. Connective speech, whenever I teach this, it's just like, okay, this is how natives speak. You can cut your words, you can shrink them and link them, but you need to be careful because a lot of non-natives aren't really going to understand you if you use this. And you need to sort of learn like kind of two different ways to communicate and to tone down your connective speech in certain moments, which a lot of natives, including myself, have a hard time doing.
Most definitely. I always tell my students, like, this is more important for you to be able to understand it. If you want to use it, then that's great. You can give it a go. I also really liked what Andre said. It's kind of like in line with the quote we shared at the beginning from Arnold Schwarzenegger, that, you know, he says, be really hungry, be hungry to learn, be hungry to make an impact, but make sure that you're also hungry for helping others. So I think Andre is definitely more in that mindset that we can continuously improve our fluency together. We can all be part of this family and we can, you know, hold each other's hands in this process.
Yeah. And just to come back to that idea of global citizenship, I think there are something like maybe 500 million native speakers in the world, right? And then I think there are three times as many non-native speakers in the world. So just really taking that perspective, a lot of people think about, oh, English is just native speakers, but when you think about it, and when you really get out in the world in business, in the world of travel, in the world of just how English is actually used in the real world, you realize it's much more dynamic and much more multifaceted than only native speakers.
What's multifaceted?
It means it has different facets, different sides, different angles and perspectives. Right?
Exactly. It's almost like facets is almost like faces. It might be a good way to remember that. All right. Do you want to read the next one from Agnieszka, also a Fluency Circle member from Poland?
Okay, so Agnieszka says, if we consider speaking like a native as speaking fluently without doubts and hesitation, then obviously yes. Well, I have lots of doubts and expectations as a side note for myself. But if we think that for speaking like a native means without an accent, then not me. For me, my accent is part of me. It says a lot about who I am. I am Agnieszka from Poland. Besides the fact that speaking with a foreign accent is cute, I want to be cute.
This is perfect. Agnieszka is also one of my students, so I have the pleasure of basking in her cute accent once a week.
Basking?
Basking in. See, like you bask in the sun, for example, like when you're tanning. So it's basically that you get to be showered upon by something. And something with her, she's very, very passionate about learning, very passionate, I think, especially about using the language to connect. She's definitely a galvanizer of the fluency circle.
What does galvanize mean?
Galvanize means that you kind of like spark community. You kind of start a movement. And I don't know if she would actually agree with this, but I've definitely just seen her always cultivating interaction there in the fluency circle. So thanks so much for that, Agnieszka. It would not be the same without you. And thanks for also taking the time to share with us. And we just have one last comment, which wasn't really a yes or no, but I still thought it was an interesting comment. Do you want to share that one, Justin?
Okay, so this one is from Cleberson Ventura. So he says, I believe that speaking native English only can be achieved with language immersion, moving to another country, or speaking all the time with a language partner. But courses like Learn English with TV series can be much more efficient than traditional methods for learning a language like a native. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with the first part. I definitely agree with the second part. The Learn English with TV series is actually our channel that we help you to learn English with clips from many different popular American TV series. Actually, American, I guess we have some British as well. You know, it's kind of rare to find someone who's able to do this. I think it takes some hard work, or maybe it takes a kind of a knack for picking up the accent, picking up the rhythm and the flow of the language.
Hold on. Sorry to cut you off, Mr. V. What does knack mean?
To have a knack for something means that you kind of have a natural ability for that thing. I think some people, they kind of have like an ear, or they have a knack for picking up that rhythm and flow of the language. And I found that people who, for example, are musicians, that they listen to a lot of music, maybe they sing, maybe they play an instrument, they tend to be very good at this. And I've also met people who have just been very proactive about doing a lot of input. So listening a lot, doing a lot of mimicry and like recording their voice and being very, very meticulous with critiquing themselves, that they are very able to reduce their accent a lot, maybe not to get rid of it completely. And on the other hand, I think like a language immersion or moving to another country, I've met a lot of people as well who've done this and they've just like flat out failed at learning the language, let alone picking up the accent. So that is never going to be a solution. If you're not able to really dedicate yourself to the language at home, you're not necessarily going to be successful just by moving to another country. There's a lot more to it than that. That especially goes for the accent. And like we were saying before, that might not be what you want to do either. If you move to another country, your accent will always help you stand out. And like I was foreshadowing before, we are going to share a clip from Arianna Huffington that we'll talk a little bit more about in a minute. And you'll see that she is someone who lives and works and is extremely successful in the United States. And I think her accent has actually contributed to that more than it has hindered that.
Wait, so who is she, by the way?
So Arianna Huffington, she's, I'd say, like one of the most successful, one of the most well-known entrepreneurs in the United States. She started the Huffington Post, which is one of the most read online news sources in the United States. I think in the United States and the world, actually. Now it's very international. She's like a media maven. She's very active in politics. And she's from Greece, just like it actually fit really well that we gave the shout out today. Our Kick-Ass Learner of the Week was from Greece because we're going to be ending this podcast as well with someone from Greece. So as you'll hear, she has a very strong Greek accent, but she's perfectly comprehensible. She is very eloquent in her way of speaking, because if you actually want to go listen to the whole podcast that this clip came from, we will share that in the show notes at reallifeglobal.com/accents. And you'll see she actually grew up in Greece, but then she moved to England. And I think she became such an eloquent speaker because she really set her mind to, while she was studying there, to joining the debate team. And, you know, I think that required her to really take her communication level to a whole, you know, a whole new place. So I think kind of having a goal like that of something that you actually want to use the language for, you know, maybe it's something like debating, maybe it's something having to do with travel, maybe it's just because you want to be able to communicate with your friends from different countries, that is going to do so much more for you than a goal like, I want to speak like a native.
I think one of the things, just tying back into what Cleberson said in that last comment there, is because he said, you know, language immersion, moving to another country, or speaking with a language partner. So I think an important thing, input is definitely underrated. Input, like listening, or I mean, reading is input too, but I think in this case, I'm talking more about listening. Doing a lot of that is underrated, but I think a lot of people have a hard time finding people with whom to speak. And I think finding people to speak and practice, getting like daily practice, that's so important. If you can do that, if you can actually create output opportunities every single day, then that's going to be a huge impact on your English.
Most definitely. I think even, like we said, even just recording yourself or talking to your dog or talking to your baby or anyone else who's willing to listen or not listen, it'll help at least a little bit. So we have actually a couple examples here. We will finish up with Arianna Huffington just as we play you out, and we'll give you some vocabulary prep for that. But first, as we shared the quote from Schwarzenegger, I thought it would also be worthwhile just sharing what he said about his accent, because a lot of people comment that, you know, he's lived in the United States for a very long time and he still has a very strong accent. And they wonder, like, why haven't you been able to get rid of it? Or why haven't you put the work into getting rid of it? So Schwarzenegger actually said that he could speak unaccented English if he needed to, or if he needs to. But he added that the very things that they said would make it impossible for me to be successful in acting were the things that became my assets, referring to his name, his voice, and his physique. And then he said, it proves that perception has changed. In the 1970s, people were frightened of the German accent. people said it gave them goosebumps. Now I have the most imitated accent. It's a trademark.
So what does asset mean, Ethan?
An asset is something that's extremely valuable to you, or something that, like a part of something that makes it extremely valuable, right?
And trademark.
Trademark. So that's like almost like a calling card, maybe more official, because I think you have like trademarks of different brands and stuff that actually legally protect it, but we use it. He's using it, obviously, I think. I don't think he has his accent legally protected, but I think he's using it figuratively here.
And the other one you said, goosebumps. You mentioned this earlier as well. Goosebumps, for example, to give somebody the creeps gives you goosebumps. What does that mean?
So it's like when you're cold or you're scared, your skin kind of rises up. I think they're called goosebumps because if you have like a goose without feathers, you see it's covered in these. I just really like how he kind of put it that his accent is actually an asset for him. And, you know, you might not be a really famous actor or anything like that where your accent actually makes you famous, but it does go to show that what a lot of people think might make you unsuccessful or might make you failure might be pointing to that you haven't succeeded, that you haven't made it to a far enough point to an advanced level can actually be the things that really make you special. So I think, again, like we'll share this podcast interview of Schwarzenegger, where he shares a lot about this, a lot about his whole story, his rise to fame, and how important so many of these things that he just never gave up. He was completely determined to become successful, to become an actor and stuff, even though people told him no, people told him he would never be successful many, many times, and he just didn't listen to them. So I'd say be wary of what people tell you is success. If people tell you, you know, you need to speak like a native, that's probably not true. You actually need to look deeper into why people say that, right?
What does wary mean, Ethan?
Be wary of something means that you doubt it. You don't just believe it right away. Let's wrap up this podcast. We're just going to run through some of the vocabulary from this clip that we're going to share of Arianna Huffington talking about her accent. So the first thing that she says might be a little bit confusing is to be conscious of something, or you might actually hear to be self-conscious of something.
Well, usually it's self-conscious. You can't be self-conscious of something. Mr. V.
I guess you're self-conscious or you're conscious of something. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you're aware of something, right?
Yeah. I think she uses this here, like you're conscious of something, like she's conscious of her accent, for example, which kind of makes her self-conscious. Like she's worried about it. She's worried what people are going to think of her. She doesn't think she's good enough.
Yeah. It's that moment when you're speaking or doing something and then you realize, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And that voice starts to really turn in your head, and that sabotages exactly what you're doing.
Exactly. What's to sabotage?
Sabotage is to cause problems for it and to make something fail.
Yeah, I'd say it's exactly that. It's trying to make something fail. Maybe in kind of like a secret or like deceitful sort of way. Passive aggressive?
Passive aggressive is when maybe you're aggressive towards somebody, but in a very passive way, in a very like in a very hidden way, in a very secretive way. So you do something, but you don't do it with that intention. You do it with kind of like a negativity.
I think like some people, for example, in relationships, or I think it's kind of like an immature way of dealing with something that you don't like. So like, for example, you might see in a relationship that, for example, someone's wife is mad about something, and instead of saying like, hey, I didn't like that you did this, she would like give them the silence treatment or kind of just answer in a very unenthusiastic tone to everything, right? That might be one way you see someone acting passive aggressive, or it could be, you know, just like the actions that they take. They kind of, instead of actually telling you to your face, they're kind of showing through their way of speaking or their actions that they're mad about something.
They're usually just people like who avoid conflict, right?
Exactly. So you, dear listener, try not to be passive aggressive. Try to be more direct if you have a problem with something. This is actually a cultural reference. Tom Hanks and Forrest Gump, in case someone hasn't seen that movie. Why would she refer to that as far as the accent?
Because he has a very particular way of speaking. I think she had a dialect coach, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Who worked with Tom Hanks.
He was somebody who, I guess, was mentally challenged in some way. This is Tom Hanks in the movie. So,
well, I think also because he's from, if I'm not mistaken, Alabama, which is a very strong Southern accent. You know, it's Tom Hanks. I'm not sure where Tom Hanks is from, but he's got a pretty standard American accent. All right. So the next one is a diphthong symbol.
Okay. What does diphthong symbol mean, Mr. V?
Well, diphthong is, it's kind of like two vowels that make up one sound. So, for example, in American English, you don't have like a pure O. Anytime you see an O, it's actually like a diphthong O-U sound. So diphthong symbols, I guess it's just like probably something marking the different vowel sounds, because English isn't a phonetic language, which for learners can make it very difficult if they come from a phonetic language. Okay, this is kind of another cultural reference. She says that she put lifesavers on her tongue. I actually said this at the beginning, putting lifesavers on your tongue to help you to improve your pronunciation. So what are lifesavers?
Lifesavers are those little candies. They're like a little loop, a little circle with a hole in the middle.
It's like a ring.
And they're different colors.
Exactly. I think it comes from a lifesaver is literally like on boats, you see those tube rafts that they might throw to someone if they fell overboard. You mentioned that expression earlier, or that term earlier, overboard. They might throw you a lifesaver. So it's called, that candy is called that because it looks like one of those lifesavers. Paralyzed?
Paralyzed is when you can't move. You're very stuck in the same position.
To give up something?
To give up something means to discard access to it. I don't know if there's a better way to say that.
Maybe that's a little bit different. I'd probably say like to quit. You say, this is too hard. I give up. I quit. I'm going to stop trying. And then she also says, so that's give up something. You say give up something. And then if you give up someone, give up a person, she talks about giving up her husband. That means that basically like you give up, you leave them or you break up with them. In this case, if it's her husband, you might say for example, give up a baby for adoption. You could also hear that. Reluctant or reluctantly?
Reluctantly is when you really don't want to do something. So you might accept an invitation reluctantly or to do something, anything reluctantly without really wanting to do that.
Exactly. You're kind of like almost wanting to say no, but you say yes reluctantly. So the Queen's English, she mentions she'll never be able to speak the Queen's English.
I guess it's like the traditional British English, right?
So I think it's like the high, if I'm not mistaken, like a high posh accent, like the Queen's English. So it's like a very certain accent in British English. And actually, I think I didn't know if this would be the most accurate expression to use here because Arianna Huffington lives and works and, you know, is successful in the United States. So I don't think she wants to speak British English anyway. I think she just basically meant being able to speak like a very accurate, perfect English, quote unquote, perfect English, because there is no perfect English. Incomprehensibility?
Not being able to be understood.
Learn to embrace something?
Learning to accept or to really enthusiastically do something.
Yeah. I think it's like it even goes further than accepting something. It's almost like you take it, you know, as like a something really positive. Just a couple more. Spontaneity.
Spontaneity is do something spontaneously without planning.
And then if something weighs on you?
It means that it's causing you stress or discomfort.
As I said, we will play you out with this clip. So hopefully all that vocabulary will help you to understand her. I think she speaks very clearly. And as we said, she has that accent. So hopefully it won't be too challenging for you. And we will see you next week on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.
I have been very conscious of my accent for a long time. And I did try to change it. In fact, my ex-husband gave me as a birthday gift, which you may consider a very passive-aggressive birthday gift, a dialect coach for 2 weeks to follow me around and give me notes. And it wasn't just any dialect coach. It was Jessica Drake, who is a very famous Hollywood dialect coach who coached Forrest Gump. coached Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump. And anyway, so she literally followed me around. At the time my children were young, she would put diphthong symbols on Dr. Seuss books. So when I was reading to my children, I could practice. She would put lifesavers on my tongue so I could pronounce my long E's like long E's and my short E's like short E's. And by the end of it, I was paralyzed. I knew exactly what I was doing wrong, but I could not really be an authentic, functioning human being and speak proper English. So I gave up reluctantly the hope of having speaking the Queen's English. And soon after, I gave up my husband, though the two things were not related. and then around that time, I was talking to Henry Kissinger, and I told him, you know, you're so comfortable with your accent, and I've been so uncomfortable with it. And he said, oh, Arianna, give it up. In American public life, you can never overestimate the advantages of complete and total incomprehensibility.
So you learned to embrace it. Was it easy? I mean, after that conversation, was it easy, or what was the?
Yeah, I think it was the combination of seeing how I could never speak like Jessica Drake wanted me to speak unless I just kind of measured every word and lost all spontaneity. And also the fact that Henry Kissinger seemed so completely comfortable with his heavy German accent. And now, honestly, I don't think about it. But for a long time, it really weighed on me.